This week, as we've talked about several times this year, fall is not the end of the camping season. We've got some essential tips for maintaining your RV in the fall to keep it going throughout the fall and winter even, and have it, you know, prepared for the spring so you're not doing everything you need to do when the camping season begins again next spring. This is RV Miles.
Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. From award-winning tow bars and base plates to a full line of weight distribution hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and now they have fifth wheel hitches too. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. Visit blueox.com for more information.
Welcome to episode number 379 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby, and we are two RVers who, along with our three boys, have been crisscrossing all over North America on one epic road trip since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to travel destinations, national parks, RV maintenance, and so much more.
We're coming to you this week from Scott County Park. It's the nearest sort of county state park type place to our home. We have the rig out here sort of getting it ready to go to on another trip. We're going to a music festival this weekend. I actually moved the rig today as we're recording this up to this music festival that we're going to, and then we're heading over to Amana for homecoming. This is a really great park. If you're in the area, this would be a really great stopover on I-80 because it's pretty close to I-80 to be able to have even just an overnight or a night or two in a county park. The only problem with it is you have to have your reservation done 7 days in advance.
Yes, so they have a unique rule. So if you want to book online, it's a minimum of up to 7 days. Otherwise, you are going first come, first served. So we did a very last minute decision. In fact, Jason was driving the rig back from Elkhart when we thought, well, you know what, rather than taking it to storage, why don't we take it to Scott County? Why don't we take it to the campground? We'll open it up. We'll get it ready and load it up for both the music festival we're going to and then for homecoming. So I had to call them to find out, like, can you do an online reservation for me or can we book something? And they said, no, you just would need to come in, do first come, first served, which was a little unnerving because it was a Friday that I was calling.
Busy weekend. And there were plenty of sites available.
In a way, it was also kind of nice to hear them say, no, just come on down. It's fine. Yeah. Like to have sort of that freedom again of arriving on a Friday and, you know, maybe you don't get that primo, your favorite spot. And clearly there are people here who have their favorite spots in this park. But you get a spot, you pull in, you go back up to the, you know, office and pay. And it felt really nice and old school, like RVing and, you know, enjoyable. And so it's a beautiful park. And I said to Jason, we really don't need to go too far to be able to still really enjoy the rig and have a nice time at the campground. And
we were going to be recording this episode right at the campsite at the rig, but they're building a new loop. And it's right next to where we are. So the construction was actually very loud.
So loud.
This morning. But it's a beautiful park near Davenport, Iowa, if you're coming through the area.
We're back in the old headsets. The old headsets are on today. So we're ready to call all of your parades as we get into the fall. Macy's, call us. So it's, you know, we're back at a picnic table. We're out in the wild. We're podcasting in the wild again. It's incredibly nice to be able to do that. But boy, you are reminded of just how much the environment plays a factor in how we can get this done. So we did think rather than giving you a shot of the rig when you watch behind us and being able to see our campsite, you would be enjoying that with the sounds of construction. And so we thought instead we'll go find one of the many picnic spots they have in this park.
Today on the show, we're talking essential fall RV maintenance tips. And this goes for anybody who's still planning on camping in the fall or you're getting ready to put your rig away for the winter, though we're not talking about winterizing and all that sort of stuff. Just some things that you want to think about this time of the year. But before we get into that, Last week's show was sort of my overview of my experience at the Hershey RV show, where, you know, I got to see a lot of new rigs and things like that. And we've got some attendance numbers have been released from the show, and a lot of people have been asking about what attendance is like. I think people think of RV show attendance, especially at these couple big shows, as really a barometer for how the RV industry is going to do for the upcoming selling season. So attendance at the Hershey RV show this year was about 46,000 people. And to put that in perspective, it's very slightly down from last year, about 47,000 people last year, and slightly up from the year before, 2023, which was 45,000 people, again, 44,000, something like that. So the thing to understand about that, though, is really this downturn in the RV industry began, and perhaps even the worst of it began in the fall of 2023. Sort of that fall of 2023 into spring of 2024, I think was probably the worst of it. And ever so slightly better since, but pretty stagnant in general. So I think you can see these last three RV shows, because remember, this is the only big RV show that happens in the fall. You can see over these last few RV shows sort of attendance staying pretty steady, whereas the year before, 60,000 people.
In 2022.
Yeah. And 2021, I think, was something like 55,000. 2020, they didn't have the show. But pre-pandemic, a lot of people don't remember this, but the industry was on a bit of a downturn pre-pandemic. Late 2018 into 2019 was a bit of a downturn. 2016 and 2017 were kind of boom years for the RV industry. So back those years, you saw some 60,000, some 55,000, and it was starting to come down. And then it boomed back up after everybody realized when the pandemic began that RV sales were going to explode like crazy. So I think if you're looking into the crystal ball and trying to get an idea of what next year is going to look like for RV sales, for the number of people going to campgrounds, all that sort of stuff, I think it's going to be probably about the same as it was this year.
Which is still an incredible amount of people. I think we've all just become accustomed to this number now that is being produced, not only in the industry, but then also as we're seeing at campgrounds. And, you know, I think that we are expecting it to die off. When everyone says, oh, it's all going to plummet, it's like they have in their mind that 20,000, 30,000 people are going to not show up this year at the Hershey show, that all of a sudden they're going to roll into a campground and it's just going to be an absolute tumbleweeds going by. It's completely empty. Everyone's given up on RV life. And that's just not going to be the case. What we're seeing now is what we think is probably going to be normal numbers. Yeah. 45,000 is still an incredibly good number.
Yeah, and 350,000 RVs sold in a year is, you know, it's
right.
It's low compared to the past, you know, those pre-pandemic boom years. We got up to 500,000 in 2021 or 2022. We got up to 600,000. Those were crazy years, and, you know, they can't be considered the norm. I know I know manufacturers wish that we could get up there, of course. But and I from a lot of the feedback from the show, our friends at RV Business did a big roundup of talking to different manufacturers about their opinion on the show and different dealers. And I talked to certain people while I was on the ground there, though I wasn't there for the whole show through the, you know, the busiest days are the selling weekend, of course. And it's interesting because some folks thought it was great, and some folks were pretty disappointed. So, and really, I think that comes down to, were their products the ones that people were the most interested in selling?
I would be more interested in seeing those who said it was great,
yeah,
what they were selling, and at the price point they were selling them at, and those who said that it wasn't. Again, what were you selling, and what was the price point that you were selling at? And I think that that's a really good barometer for where the consumer is right now. But, you know, 11,500 people coming through in a single day,
yeah,
that's, you know, that's your average around 46,000. That's to me, fantastic in the middle of September in Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know, for a lot of people, it's not the easiest, especially our West Coast friends and even down in the South, a show like that isn't quite accessible. So I will be really interested to see the numbers in Tampa come January.
Yeah.
And see if we build on that number or, yeah, if, you know.
In general, attendance at RV shows down, sales down, is only good for consumers.
Yeah.
So when consumers look at this and say, oh, man, is it even worth going to? Yeah, it's better that the crowd's smaller, right? Yeah. It's better that the dealers are working harder for your sale.
Let's make a deal.
So I think this is only good for consumers. I think there needs to be fewer sales for a while. We all know the industry overbuilt in 2021 and 2022 and even into 2023. There was too much product done too fast, and the industry is going through a reset, which can only be good for it. There needs to be some consolidation. What I don't like about consolidation is, you know, conglomerates increasing in size, especially RV dealership chains. We're seeing a lot of that, but there needs to be some consolidation in brands and the number of floor plans offered. We've seen in the last couple of years, a lot of brands slim down the number of floor plans they're offering. They're coming out with new ones, but they might be pulling other ones off of the market and focusing on what they do best. Other brands doing different things. Some brands still have their 50 floor plans out there.
Yep.
But again, it's only good for consumers when the RV industry needs to work a little harder to get your business.
Yeah, I am very pleased with, I think, where the RV industry is sitting now and the focus that's being turned. I think when you get to pull back your production a little bit, that's when you are almost forced to listen to the consumer more, and the consumer has concerns. And then at the same time, I think the consumer, because they're not flooded with so much and sort of that fear of FOMO, I think that a lot of people had, like, I need to buy now or I'm not going to get anything at all because so many are buying, can be a little bit more selective and take their time now and do their research and find the rig that they want because there will be availability. So I think in a way, this is a win-win. And there are a lot of people that are rubbing their hands together and they're just like, ooh, I can't wait for this whole industry to just completely crumble. And
that's such a weird thing to want.
I have to tell you, I will be perfectly honest. I think it is so strange when you leave a comment on this podcast or on a news video that is just all about how you cannot wait for the downturn, fall, collapse of everything that's RVing and camping. I do not understand it because you yourself are an RVer and a camper.
I guess some people don't get it. Some people are burned by, you know, they had a bad rig or something and they got really burned by a manufacturer. And I get
that's
not
fine.
Liking that manufacturer, but
Wanting to burn the whole thing down and just that, to me, I don't understand where you're getting the pleasure in that. I don't understand the desire, rather than like, let's work for change. You just want the whole thing to blow up and you want there to never be anyone doing this ever again. And I just think that those, like, you find satisfaction and joy in other people's pain and disappointment.
It's people's jobs and families, and it's the entire economy of, you know, Northern Indiana.
Well, and on top of that, it's also people's escape and joy and getting out into nature and getting away from their 9-to-5 and all of their stressors at home, or taking the kids out for the weekend to get away from all the sports practices and the homework and the go, go, go. And I'm so looking forward to this weekend up in Maquoketa because we are just nonstop. And, you know, we're doing this on a Wednesday morning in a really weird hour for us because we want to be done with our job, our work for the weekend and go enjoy our RV and enjoy the camping and RV lifestyle. I just find it strange and sad when we read comments about people that are, you know, from people that are finding joy in the destruction of an industry that, you know, has its faults, but also has a lot of positives. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that's going to piss a lot of people off.
Well, the reality is that the industry is doing just fine. And
don't worry, be happy.
Unfortunately, who is struggling over the past couple of years has been small independent dealerships. Those are the folks that have been struggling, and you know, and some people have been laid off at factories, but the brands and their parent companies are doing fine. So you know, if you punch up all you want, but there are everyday people that are. That are hurt by struggles of any industry, of course. And, you know, so it's not just management. It's not just the shareholders and all that sort of stuff.
More in a moment. But first, this episode is sponsored by eTrailer. Ever feel like finding the right RV part is like searching for a needle in a haystack? Enter eTrailer.com. Whether you're puzzled about which product is right for you or how to install it, eTrailer has got you covered. Their US-based customer service is available by chat or phone 7 days a week. And with expert Q&As, helpful articles, and tons of reviews and install videos, you'll tackle any RV problem with confidence. eTrailer strives to get their hands on everything they sell, and their website is full of overviews, reviews, buying guides, and tutorials. And it's not just RV parts, it's towing and vehicle accessories, camping supplies, and more. Head to the link in the description and get free shipping on orders over $99. Harvest Host is a membership that allows RVers to take a rest from the road and enjoy unlimited overnight stays at over 5,000 unique locations in North America, like breweries, farms, attractions, wineries, and much more. Easily plan and book your next RV trip and enjoy over $1,500 in exclusive member benefits by joining Harvest Hosts. Get 15% off your first year of membership with the code MILES, that's M-I-L-E-S. Go to harvesthost.com to become a Harvest Host member today.
So today we want to talk about, we've been talking a bit about fall camping over the course of a couple episodes here, but we want to talk about some essential tips for maintaining your rig in the fall. Some things that might be fall specific that you might want to think about, things that might be seasonal specific, things that might be related to getting closer to time to put the rig away for the winter, but we're not quite there yet.
No, and think of this as spring cleaning for the fall.
Yeah.
So essentially when we talked about this, I was like, what? Have we ever done an episode on what we do in the fall to make sure that the rig can keep camping through the season? And so we have 8 items here that we do on our rig to kind of keep our fall camping season going. Perhaps some of these will apply to you as well, or you may have your own that you want to share in the comments as we're going on through this episode.
And don't get mad if I throw a couple others in.
Oh, well, eight with an asterisk.
Things are just going to keep popping up in my head.
Yes,
so
that's generally how it is when you're cleaning.
Fall is kind of a good time to just do some of those things that need to be done yearly. So it's not necessarily just about fall. It's just there's some things that you have to do on your rig yearly, some basic yearly maintenance tasks. It's a good time to do because, you know, when it comes spring and time to get the RV out again for this season, if you're folks that are like that, that have a winter and you put your rig away for the winter, you know, imagine your RV season as whatever it is in relation to this. But you don't want to, like, go to a campground and spend a week getting all this stuff done when you could have done it in these sort of nice days. A lot of us plan like the beginning of our camping season the next year as like a big trip.
Exactly.
So it's nice to have some of this stuff done, like stuff that you can do when it's a little bit cooler outside, like repacking your wheel bearings if you have a trailer. This is a good time to do that sort of thing.
Well, let's get into the list.
Yeah.
So the first one we have is check the heating system. So that's, you know, check your furnace. Here we come into this time of year, like in the spring, the weather can be all over the place. It can be sunny and warm one day, and then all of a sudden the temperatures drop and you find yourself in much cooler weather and you're going to start using the furnace. This is a great time to make sure that all of that is functioning properly. Before you're going to put it away, and then you don't want to be surprised by it when you pull it out in the spring. But also, again, so that when it's not 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and the temperature has dropped while you're out camping and suddenly you've got an issue with the furnace and it's not working.
You might not have had, you might not have your propane filled, and you're going to start going through a lot of propane here in the fall. So you might want to consider that. But your heating system, the big things you're really going to want to check are the vents to make sure that they're is nothing's built up. There's no critters, no bugs have made little nests in there. That's one of the things that can really affect your day when it's time to turn that furnace on for the first time, and just fire it up and make sure it's working. Things like the sail switch inside it can get gummed up. And when you haven't used it over the course of the summer, that's when it's going to stop functioning. So just turn it on, make sure it works. And if not, figure out what you need to do to service it.
So while you're looking to your furnace as a need you're going to have as your season continues, you might be thinking about, I'm not going to be using the AC as much. And this is where our second essential checklist item comes in. And this is a great time to start maintaining your AC. So that could be having someone come out, have an RV maintenance tech come out and do a seasonal clean of your AC for you, or just some basic maintenance of it as you get ready to kind of shut it off for the year.
There's the filters inside that you should be dealing with on your own. We clean the inside filters, those plastic mesh things, quite often, at least once a month when we're heavily camping, because they do get, they get full of gunk. But the outside needs some love too, and the machinery inside of it. And what can often happen is you get a lot of buildup of whatever, vegetation, dust, all sorts of stuff on your AC unit on the roof. And some people will do sort of air conditioner maintenance in the spring, but if you're letting that stuff sit on there all winter long, it's worse for it. Of course, you know, that stuff can like freeze up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So get it cleaned and maintained in the fall instead of the spring. It's a good time.
And while you're up there, it's a really great time to inspect the roof, check out the seals. So this is our third sort of essential item on the checklist. Get up there, kind of make sure everything is nice and sealed up as you get ready, especially if you're going to be a winter camper and you might find yourself with snow up there.
People think that rain is the biggest problem when it comes to leaks, and really snow is worse, because when you get snow on your roof and then it thaws and freezes, that's thawing and freezing, just like the way potholes are created on roadways, that gets into little infiltrations and makes them bigger. So if you get up on your roof in the fall, clean your roof. It's a great time to clean your roof because you've had pollen and all sorts of gunk, sap, whatever, from the spring and summer. Clean your roof. Check all the seals. Make sure that there's no little openings in the seals, and fix them if there are. If your rig is under warranty, it probably says you need to be checking your seals on your roof, and you should document that you did this every 3 months. So definitely want to do this at some point in the fall. And then once you've checked all the seals, cleaned your roof, check all the seals on the sidewalls of your rig as well, around all the windows, everything. Make sure that there is no sealant pulling away anywhere. There's no little openings and cracks. And if you want, hire a technician to do this. This is a technician's bread and butter, to come out and do sealant and to inspect your roof and seals. And this is a good time to do this. They get very busy. Technicians get extremely busy. This is going back to number one, the heating system. When people start having to constantly use their heat. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, so many people realize that their heating system doesn't work.
Right.
So at that point, it can be hard to find a technician in that given area to do whatever else you need them to do. So if you can get an appointment with them to do your seals and whatever, it's the same sort of thing in the spring when people start using their air conditioners for the first time. when it gets sort of hot in early June or whatever, it's hard to book a technician.
Well, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Right.
And some of the things you're talking about too, we had mentioned with the snow, if you're going to winter camp. Well, of course, this also, just to make sure, this is going to apply to you if you're storing your rig outside as well, if you're in a winter climate. So even with the rig stored, you have that possibility of snow, and then it melts, then it freezes, and then it snows, and your rig is exposed to those elements outside. So regardless if you're going to use the camper or not through the winter, and you are in winter climates, it's really good to get up there and get the roof cleaned. And while you're up there cleaning the roof, this takes us to number four, and that is to get up there and wipe down those solar panels. Do not forget, if you have solar on your rig, do not forget that those panels as well are going to be covered with the pollen and the dirt and all of that summer camping. And you will get, this is a great time for us in our area for boondocking, because the weather is finally getting to a level where we're comfortable and not in need of an air conditioner. Although I will talk about how that's fake in our fresh tank, black tank in a little bit.
It's going to be 90 degrees today.
But when you do finally get that, that's when, boy, that's when solar really comes in and you really start enjoying, for a lot of us, the boondocking season. But you're going to get more out of your panels and they're going to be able to bring in more for you when they're clean. So while you're up there doing all of that other stuff with the AC and with the roof, now's a great time to give those solar panels a good clean wipe down.
Yeah, so this is all sort of stuff that you can do in the fall and then still camp in the fall. It's shortening the litany of things that you need to get done when it is time to actually put the rig away for the winter.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just good to get into these habits. So, you know, we're into four things already, and three of them you can couple into one cleaning session, because these, they're roof related, right? So the AC, the seals, and then the solar panels. And so while we're talking about being outside in the rig, this is also number five, is this is a great time to give, if you have not done it yet, to give your rig, your exterior, a good washdown from summer travel.
And if you're not comfortable doing it on your own, a lot of people just never wash their RV. We have found a few different places where I can get a pressure washer going, though you're not really supposed to get a pressure washer close. Be careful with that. But you could go to a place like a Blue Beacon Truck Wash. They wash RVs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will tell you to tell them not to use the acid wash. They use like a strong acid wash on semi-truck trailers to get all the gunk off. From what I understand, it's actually their company policy not to do that, but it still might be something you just want to double check with if you're going to any sort of truck wash, that they're not using like an acid wash on your gel coat RV. But a lot of RVers now get their RVs washed at truck stops, at the big truck washes. It costs like, it depends on the length. It usually goes by foot, but it's going to cost you like $45 to get a deep wash done. And it's, you know, the way they do it would take you hours to do on your own. Now, you can go, there are some places where, like, there's the bougie people that show up mm-hmm. at the campground and charge you like $500 and do a really deep detail of the exterior of your RV, wash it and wax it and everything like that. They bring their own water and everything. And they usually do a great job, but that's another route to go as well.
Yeah, but this time of year is a great time to get all of those bugs that have slammed into the front cap of your fifth wheel and seen the end of their time on this planet. So come to an end. So we definitely are at a point where we need to get our rig washed. It's the end of our summer season, and the bugs are starting to die down a little bit, although they're very excited about the fact right now that it's going to be 90 degrees out. So take that time however you would like to get it washed, but take the time in the fall to go out there and get that rig taken care of so it's looking good for next year, for when you put it away. We talked at the top of this, so number six, we talked at the top of this about how look at the fall sort of like as your spring cleaning, except in the fall. And that goes for getting inside the rig and giving the inside of a rig a nice clean, but also decluttering from your summer travels. So I know for us, we had a lot of things that we wanted to bring out of the rig before we started doing some fall traveling, switching out some clothes and some items that we keep in there for our summer travels. Well, now we're getting into cooler weather.
Different blankets and sheets and that sort of stuff for cooler weather.
So look at it as a time to pull out some of your spring summer items, and then maybe get that warmer blanket in there, get a couple of jackets in there. Maybe you want to get, you know, your warmer shoes, but you want to have space for those things. Even if you don't keep them in there, if you have limited space, especially in those smaller rigs, it's nice to just go ahead and take this time now to switch everything out other than just trying to keep it all on top of one another and making the space feel even more cluttered and more claustrophobic.
I think a lot of us also just accumulate stuff over the course of travels. And especially people who RV heavily don't realize how much weight they're adding to their rig. So it's sort of good to get rid of some of the weight every so often and make sure that you're not, you know, over your cargo carrying capacity and all that sort of stuff from the things that you've gathered on your travels. You know, when you've been somewhere and said, hey, I need those new camp chairs and didn't get rid of the old ones. Right. and that sort of thing.
And, you know, when we were taking the rig up to Elkhart a couple weeks ago, I took that time before it went up to have that be kind of like our fall deep clean. And we pretty regularly, when we're traveling, keep the rig clean. We are vacuuming and sweeping in there. We're wiping things down. But when you kind of get everything out from the travels that you went on, when, you know, all the clothes and all the things kind of come back in and the fridge gets emptied out and your pantry's not as full because you're not in it, you are amazed at how many little crevices and cracks and areas in there have gotten dirty. And just being able to get in there and have, you know, see a big picture, an almost empty rig, and to get in there and be able to clean it, I was like, wow, this is dirt from, like, you know, Wyoming from like 5 months ago.
Sometimes you can tell, like, by the color of it, you're like, I know where that's from.
Right. I mean, it was amazing when we were cleaning out Bexy to take it to consignment, we were still finding sand from Baja. Like, it was clearly sand from Baja. And this is March 2025 that we were doing this, and we had been in Baja in February of 2023. So, you know, it just gets in there, and it's just nice to go in and kind of reset and take care of your space, similar as you would be taking care of your home. So that's number six. Number seven is sanitize fresh water.
Yeah, you should be sanitizing your freshwater system. I sort of drill this in every few months on the show, but you should be sanitizing your freshwater system. If you use your RV pretty regularly, you're going to want to be sanitizing your freshwater quarterly. And if you don't use your RV for a month at a time, you want to sanitize your RV. I'm not going to go through the whole process here, but it involves adding a quarter cup of bleach per 15 gallons of capacity that you have in your tank. And you put that in, you fill your fresh water, and then you run it until you run all of your different water hoses and lines until you smell bleach coming out of them, and then leave it overnight or at least for several hours, and then drain it and flush it all out. You can not use bleach if you don't want to. There are sanitizing products from certain brands like Campco. You can try and just follow the directions on them, but you should be doing this way more regularly. And a lot of people say to me every time I talk about this, well, how is it any different than at home? You don't sanitize your water system at your home. And the problem is air. The problem is air gets into our RV's water systems because A, it's a tank and there's air in there. The lines aren't always full of water. And air allows bacteria to grow, allows algae to grow. And I've seen technicians, you know, TikTok is a wonderful thing. Reels where technicians will pull out water lines, cut them open, and show you the slime on the inside of them because people aren't sanitizing their RV water systems. You don't want to let this stuff grow in there. Sanitize your water system fairly regularly.
I think we have a video on the RV Miles YouTube channel.
I have not done a video on sanitizing our
you
water
haven't.
System.
I thought
I
that you did.
Actually thinking about doing it for next Thursday.
Oh, well, there we go.
Or this Thursday.
We may have one.
I might be doing it tomorrow, essentially, is what I'm saying here.
We might have, by the time you watch this, there might actually be a video up on the channel.
Don't hold me to that.
I won't hold you to it, but we do try to do videos like that when we have to do them ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to show the process rather than just talking about the process and to show how we do something. Because, of course, everyone in their RV life does something a little different. And we would never say do it our way. Our way is the only way to do it. It's the only way that's right. But it is really nice to make a video like that and be doing it yourself so people can see in real time how you sanitize fresh water for our RV life. So that's number 7. Number 8, it's a nice one to wrap this up with because winter is coming, whether we want it or not, whether we want those dark days or not. Winter is coming for a large swath of us who RV. Now, some of you are going to run from it. You're going to run far south. And it's going to be wonderful for you. And this is not probably going to pertain to you. But for the rest of us who cannot leave and must stay, this is a great time to be prepared to winterize if need be. And that just means making sure that you have all of the pink stuff if you use it.
Or your compressor set up to blow your lines out if you prefer that method. I prefer the pink stuff or combination, but you want to have that stuff on hand, even if you're one of those people that is going to run south for the winter. Most of you are at some point going to, you know, experience some freezing temperatures on the way. So just having the stuff and being prepared, because what you don't want to be is one of those people that when all of a sudden, we get that surprise early freeze, you run out in panic and everybody has cleared the shelves of RV antifreeze.
And all that's left there is our freshly made tortillas.
And then you get stuck going to buy it from AutoZone where they charge you an arm and a leg.
Yeah. So clearly the tortillas is a reference to February 2021 in the fine state of Texas when they decided to really get cold down there. And nothing could be found to save all of us except freshly made tortillas at the HEB. So get those things now.
Clearly that was a reference to that.
For all of you who have been here for so long, you know that every time we start talking about any sort of last minute winterizing, our minds both go back to February 2021, to the long lines for propane, to the inability to get fresh water to fill up the tanks, to everything that we needed, because it was all coming and we all thought we were in Texas and everything was fine. And then suddenly it wasn't. So learn from us. Make sure you have these things on hand. No matter where you are, freezing temperatures can just show up. A freeze can just settle. There's really, maybe if you are in the Keys, you're going to be fine, but even northern Florida could see some cold weather.
Yeah, unless you're in like southern California, southern Florida, far southern Texas, there's a chance that you're going to freeze.
Corpus Christi was without water when we were there.
Yeah.
They're sitting on the Gulf.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just nice to have, and it's nice peace of mind for your RV life so you can extend your season and not have to worry about damaging your rig while you're doing it. So those are our essential fall RV maintenance checklist tips. That's a big title.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to just plan we like to do maintenance at a campground.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no better way to do it unless you have a nice big driveway. So we don't.
We do not.
And we could do it in storage, but that would be awful. So we like to do maintenance at a campground. So you're going to have dozens of other maintenance items that pertain to your specific RV and your needs. And I think it's just a good time to plan a maintenance weekend at a campground. Mm-hmm. And just that's what you're going to do for that weekend.
Make yourself a checklist, things you want to get done. Get all of those essentials in there, and then it's peace of mind for the rest of the year. And then when you roll into the spring maintenance season, regardless if you've still been full-time and living in it or you've had it in storage, you are not compounding all of the things that you need to do and all the stress that comes from maintaining an RV sometimes, because it can be kind of stressful. So if you have any other suggestions or tips that you would add to a fall maintenance checklist, Please feel free, if you're watching this on YouTube, to leave them down in the description and share those with others, or come over to the RV Miles Facebook group and share your thoughts over there. We love seeing how you maintain your rigs and enjoy your RV life throughout the fall. All right, it is time to check the level of our tanks. And this is sponsored by our friends over at Liquified RV Toilet Treatment, the no BS toilet treatment. Just head to liquifiedrv.com to learn more. Okay, Jay, what is in your black tank this week?
So as beautiful as this park is that beautiful. We are in, it's a gorgeous county park. And county parks don't get enough love. A lot of people think about their state parks. They think about their national parks, and there are some really great county parks out there. There's always weird stuff at places like this. And one of the things that I don't understand, I've seen other places as well, there's a solar array, a big, not huge, but a decent sized solar array near the campground that they've installed. I believe they just installed it last year or the year before. And it's like at ground level, right? So there's this structure no taller than, maybe it's slightly taller than me. And the panels are all angled southward on this structure. But it's what they've done is installed this big solar array that blocks that piece of land from being used and kind of makes it look a little ugly. And I think solar panels can look fine and nice in lots of places, and I'm a big believer in solar energy, but it's a little weird in a state park. It's almost like pulling up on an electrical, what do they call those big, like, electrical transfer stations? Or
the transformers?
Yeah, you know, like they're big fenced-in areas where they've got all the, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever those things are.
And it's a little weird to me when, in a place like this, there are all sorts of structures those solar panels could be on. There's at least two huge pavilions, like pavilions mm-hmm. that can seat 60 to 100 people. Put the solar panels on the roof. There's a giant bathhouse up at and a giant bathhouse and a, like a maintenance garage up at the campground loop. Put them on the roof of that. There's a bank near us, and you know, banks are being utilized in person less and less and less, right? But there's a bank in my parents' town that they have like a sort of a big corporate building, and then they have a branch building right next to it. It's got the drive through it, all
yeah,
of that.
I know who you're talking about.
And they've sort of filled one of the parking lots up with solar panels, and I think it's great that they're powering their building with solar panels, but the building has a giant roof. I don't, or at least raise the solar panels up so that it's covered parking and you have like this sort of shelter over the parking. I just don't understand putting solar panels at the ground level when they don't need to be there. I feel like it even costs more to do.
Yeah, there's got to be some reason for it. And I'm sure at the end of the day, it's all monetary.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. It distracts from the natural landscape.
Yeah, especially in a state park. It's just like there's a clearing, chop yeah. down some trees and put in solar panels doesn't really sort of give you the ring of this is
nature. Well, and this particular one here is also butted up against the new campground loop that yeah. they're building.
Yeah.
So there will be some people that have their rigs sort of like right up on this big giant solar array. So, you know, it's sort of like where we're recording right now is this lovely picnic area and dotted, you know, picnic tables all around. And then just like smack dab in the heart of all of this, with a picnic table not more than 10 feet from it, it's a permanent pit toilet. And you think, there are so many perimeter areas where this pit toilet could be. But instead, I turn my head, look towards the beautiful trees and the picnic tables and the road and the pit toilet.
And it's not like a pit. You know, there. Some pit toilets are like a permanent like brick structure
yes.
or a cement block structure or something or stone. This is
movable.
It's plastic. It's like permanent. It's like, but it's plastic.
It, right.
It looks like a porta potty. that is permanent.
And
it's probably fiberglass, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple of times, took me a second to figure it out, when the wind shifted,
I was like, can smell it here. And we are 50 yards from it.
Yes. And I thought, well, that's not enjoyable if you use the picnic tables in and around said pit toilet. It's just interesting, layout choices sometimes in parks.
Yeah.
And these two have a couple of interesting ones. What is in your fresh tank this week?
My fresh tank is something that I have just used over and over. And this was a fresh tank from years ago that I'm just bringing back because, you know, now that I'm getting the rig ready for this trip that we're about to do and for going to Amana, I'm using these things lots and lots. I just packed up the office of tons of equipment that needs to go to Amana. And these are the Night Eyes gear ties. You can now find them anywhere. They're at like camping stores and places like Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops, but they're also at Home Depots and Lowe's.
I think Walmart has them too. Yeah.
Yeah. So the brand is Night Eyes, NITE-IZE. And they're essentially giant twist ties, like a bread twist tie that you would use in the kitchen. But they are much, much larger. They come in like 2 foot long ones, 1 foot long ones. Just you can get a variety pack of them, and they're bright colors, or you can get black ones. And they are just great, versatile things for tying up a cable. You know, so if you've got a bunch of extension cords that you bring with you, anything that you want to hang from a tree branch or something without bothering the tree.
We've done lanterns. We've looped it through a lantern that then we can hang from the tree.
You can make phone stands out of them for sitting at a picnic table and watching YouTube. There's all sorts of things that you can do with these things, but they are just really great ways to tie up your gear and not be... It's not like a specific specialty item, like a cord tie. Like you can get Velcro cord ties that you permanently attach to your extension cords, and that's a great way to go as well.
But these
have lots of options that you can use them for.
If Gumby was turned into like a bendable, usable,
they're like
tie.
It's like there's a solid wire inside.
Yeah,
a thick solid wire, and then it's got a rubberized coating.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're great. We use them for everything. And again, I think we first talked about them, 2018?
Well, you know what's funny is actually they sent us a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And they also sent me, remember last week I was talking about that headlamp that I've had for a long time?
Sure.
That one was from Night Eyes. They sent us that as well. And I think it was, 2018.
I thought that was BioLite.
No, that one, the old one. That
headlamp
I replaced was Night Eyes. The new one is the BioLite.
Got you.
Is BioLite.
And yes.
It's great. And the Night Eyes one was nice too.
Well, but it lasted for 7 years almost. So, you know, we're making a little bit of a habit going forward with some of our fresh tanks to revisit things that we have been using for long periods of time, maybe things that we talked about many, many, many years ago that are still really serving us well.
Sort of our Hall of Fame fresh tanks.
And I would for sure put these in a Hall of Fame fresh tank because they've just come in clutch for like weird things too. Like I used one the other day just to hold the curtains together in the living room, the curtains that we have for the sun deck. And I wanted to bunch them all together kind of in the center where there was no tie. And I just used one of those to hold it together.
Yeah.
And I was like, great, perfect. I'm so glad we have these just laying around all over the place.
Great stuff. All right, what's in your black tank this week?
Fake fall. I mentioned it earlier. I alluded to it earlier,
we
I should say.
We are really in fake fall.
This is every year. Talk about something that's going to be coming back every year. We almost talk about this. You can guarantee at this time of year, one of us is going to get mad about fake fall. We had the most stunning weather here for about a week and a half. We had all the windows open in the house.
Right, like upper 60s, lower 70s.
Yeah, it was getting down into the like upper 50s at night, but the windows were staying open. So it was like nice and cold in the bedroom, but cozy.
Yeah.
You know, it was beautiful. I had embraced that it was time to get out the outerwear, the layers. I was looking forward to getting my Pendleton jacket. I was like, ooh.
Is it like cooler, but you don't need the heat on yet and stuff? But I'm happy for it to get even cooler than that. But
and then it was like, suckers. Sorry. You're a bunch of suckers with your fall and your pumpkin spice lattes and thinking you're going to get your mums out and all your fall decos. Here is 95. Here's 95 degrees. And this is what you all are going to get for the next, like we've had now, we're back in the 90s. We've been back in the 90s for almost a week. And I, you know, it is technically still summer. I get it. Don't come at me. I know it is not technically fall yet, but it is such a tease. It is such a tease when August is so unrelenting with heat and humidity. And then you finally get a break and you finally feel like I can go outside without just like suffocating from the heat and the humidity.
I just want to wear a long sleeve shirt.
I know you are just dying for those sweaters.
Sweaters, but you just want a long sleeve shirt. Haven't been able to wear a long sleeve shirt yet.
The man wants to wear a lightweight jacket.
I mean,
why
look
can't
at the transition between my upper arms and lower arms.
This is very shiny.
I'm blinding the camera right now.
Color.
With my bright white upper arms.
And those guns. I mean, wow. Home down there. It. Wow. Didn't know we were going to pay for admission on this one. So the return of summer, you stink. Bring back fall. I think during homecoming, it's going to be in the 80s.
I know. I was looking forward to like campfires. At least, though, the flies won't be falling asleep for the winter as they were last year. Last year, we were right at the time. And I didn't even know flies did this, but the flies,
they just
start to like,
they're like, I'm
going to
sleep right here. Yeah. And they just, wherever they land,
and they just drop.
It's like a toddler. Just wherever I land, I'm going to sleep.
Is that where the term like dropping like a fly comes from?
Oh,
well, maybe it does.
Wow.
But they were everywhere. Yes. We would close the building up for the night. And then the next morning we would come in and we'd have to just sweep flies up.
And I'm
everywhere.
Like, I'm sorry. I know you're sleeping. But I can't have you in here. Shut back. You got to go.
And they would just be kind of like twitching their legs.
Oh, let's not talk about it. It was not great. It's not.
And then it would warm up the next. It would warm up midday. And the ones that got like swept into cracks and stuff would just all of a sudden perk back up and start flying all over the place.
Just wow. If we haven't sold you on how awesome homecoming is, I'm sure that topic just did. Everyone's like, can't wait for next year.
I brought the shop vac this time so we can get rid of them a little easier.
Wow,
at least they weren't flying all. They weren't flying all over us. They were just.
No, they were fine.
We would just show up in the morning and they'd be all over the place. And we'd be like, where are they coming from?
They were just ruining my fall deco vibe. They were just ruining the vibe in the building.
All right. What's in your fresh tank this week?
So my fresh tank is actually Jason and I are both wearing them on our wedding fingers. These are Enso rings. It's the silicone ring has been around and really popular for many, many years. But we just started wearing these about a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not even.
Well, y'all remember when I broke my finger.
In January of 2023.
That was my wedding ring finger that I broke coming down the ladder on the Ibex.
Yes.
Normally, coming down the ladder entirely normally, you know, it doesn't go to the ground. So it's just hopping off the end. And my ring got caught on the ladder as I was hopping off. And I broke my finger, and I cannot put a wedding ring back on that finger.
It won't fit.
I could get a jumbo one.
You
but
could.
It's pretty thick there now.
Got a lot of one ring to rule them all sort of vibe going to it. That's the kind of size we need. But we didn't immediately run out and get these Enso rings there's a lot of different brands you can go with. But we finally decided, I think it was last summer when we went out, we knew that we were going to be on the road and we decided to try these out and get a ring back on Jason's finger. Got to put a ring on it. And I have to say, so we've been using them for a year now. I really, really like these rings. I highly recommend them for any RVer, but also just because of the safety factor. If you do, or anyone who works in any sort of industry where they're working with their hands.
Yeah.
Just for the safety factor of it. But also for me, what I love is being in these hot and humid climates. So my fingers will often kind of swell up in warmer weather. And my rings, my wedding rings, would get really, really tight on my fingers. And in the summertime, I'd have such a hard time at night getting them off. I wouldn't even sleep with them on at night because I would wake up and feel like I was really swollen. It was difficult to get the rings off. I have just felt like this ring, there's just nothing I can't do with it. Nothing I can't clean. Like, it is absolutely, I love it. I love the look of it. So we have, geek alert. So we went and bought the Star Wars ones that are the Han Solo Princess Leia ones, but they're in Arabish.
Arabish. Yeah. Which is the Star Wars
language. So mine says, I love you. And then his says, I know. And so I've got a rose gold and he's got a gray one. We've only had one person one time come up to us and be like, is that Arabesh on those rings? And we were like, yes, it is. Why, yes, it is actually. I think that they're really indestructible.
Yeah.
And really comfortable. I don't take mine off ever.
Well, I did break one.
No, well, but that was kind of an off-brandish.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't. And these are really affordable. Like, if you look at, I bought these on because I love a good discount. I bought these when they were having a sale. I got both of these for, I think, $45, $50 for the two on sale. And the one I don't think you broke it. You lost it.
No, it broke.
Did it break?
Yeah.
Okay.
It got caught on something and
broke. I think that,
but I was glad to have a rubber or whatever they're made of, silicone ring break.
But that's when we decided.
Instead of catching my finger again on something else.
Yes, it's all coming back to me now. And that is when we decided to switch over to Inso and try out a more well-established brand. Because that had been just one I think you had picked up off Amazon or something. And we were like, oh, okay, these aren't really sticking. Why don't we go ahead and get this pair? We'll both wear them. And I didn't really think I'd like it, but I don't wear my other wedding ring anymore because these are just, it's so comfortable.
Yeah.
And again, you can do anything with them and in any climate. So I just thought if you for safety reasons, of course, but also out on the trails, you don't have your rings with you. You don't have to worry about any, if they're special to you and you want to keep them safe, these are a really great alternative if you still would like to wear some kind of band. And they sell them, you don't have to wear them as just wedding bands. They got really cool. Yeah. Like there's a couple I've got my eye on right now that are just like really cool rings in general. So I've been really happy with them.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles podcast.
Yes, it is. It's nice to be back out in nature and doing this show. This is nice to switch it up after so many years now in the studio. If you are enjoying RV Miles, would you please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. That helps put RV Miles in front of a whole new generation of listeners. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and that you like this video. Share it with some friends in your circle and tell them maybe they might enjoy coming over and hanging out for an hour every week with us as well. But until next week, friends, please stay safe. Go take care of that RV maintenance now so you don't have to think about it later. And keep logging those RV miles.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.